Well, sometimes, and I've done this off and on, it's been a little while, that I've done a series entitled You Asked For It. And You Asked For It is a series of questions that you have asked, and you said, could you answer this question for me? I've heard this, maybe someone you work with, it may be a relative, that has asked the question, and you said, could you answer this question for me? And so tonight, what I want to do is answer a question, and I do not know, there is not on my file folder that I keep these in, I don't know who asked this question. It was just someone who is a student who in that semester had other students who had asked about this subject, as well as a number of other subjects, and not knowing exactly what we would, how the testimonies would go and how the time would go tonight, what I did was I decided to take one that I didn't think would be a really long answer. Now, if you would like a long answer, whenever we're done, we can talk longer about it, but the rest of you can just go on and enjoy the fellowship tonight, all right? Well, so here's the question. Maybe you have had this question, and the question was this: do animals have souls? Now, that seems maybe like a strange question, unless you've lived in a world that tells you that an individual, a human being, is just a further evolved animal. Really, we're all the same. What makes a human being different from an animal? And if you say a human being has a soul, why not an animal? In fact, I was in researching this subject, I was amazed about a lady from an Israeli publication who, wrongly I might add, tried to use the Hebrew language to justify that animals do indeed have souls, and people and animals are all exactly the same. So do animals have souls? Now, I realize when we start talking about animals, it gets very personal. Because your cat is different than all other cats, I know. So does your animal have a soul? Well, let's begin in the beginning in the creation account of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. As we study this, really, I'm doing it because I want you to be equipped for the time when somebody asks you if animals have souls. So Genesis chapter 1, we'll start in day 5 when the Bible describes the creation of critters. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heavens. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth with which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So in day 5, there's the creation of water, life, and fowl. And I like the way God describes it. He brought it forth abundantly, so that when God did this, God just brought all of this water life and all the winged life just to life, and whoosh, and I'm picturing in my mind, in my imagination, I'm picturing this just out of nothing. Here it is, an ocean full of fish. Well, so there's the creation of water, life, and fowl. And then day 6, God keeps going. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, the beast of the earth, and after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God brought forth on day 6 animals and creepy crawlers. Well, God wasn't done, though, Because on day six, God continued with the creation of man. You look in your Bible at verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God lays out his plan, and then God executes his plan. Look in your Bible, verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he man, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish or fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, so God carries out his plan, but here's the question then: how is mankind different from all the animals that he created? And all the creepy crawlers and all the fowl and all the water life. How is mankind different? Well, there are a couple of things that are different about mankind. One is man's nature. Man, unlike all the other creation, is made uniquely in the image of God. That makes mankind unique. Then there's something else. There's man's responsibility. When you read this, God told about it in verse 26 or verse 27. Whenever he said his order was that man was to have dominion over these animals. And then when God carried it out, he expressed to them in the blessing he gave them in verse 28 to be fruitful and multiply, and then told them to subdue the earth and to have dominion over all of these realms. Am I an environmentalist? Well, if by an environmentalist you mean that I'm way, way out there and really my goal is to carry out an economic and political agenda through the ruse of the environment, I'm not an environmentalist. But do I believe that we need to be the best stewards of the environment that God has given us? Yes, I do. God has given us a dominion authority over our environment. So, listen. Would you do me a favor, please? Would you carry out your dominion authority by picking up trash? I'm serious. How many of you just watch people throw their trash out? And how many of you sometimes just want to go and pick up their trash and say, "Excuse me, you dropped this"? Frankly, I'd like to do it in church when you stuff things between the chairs and dig it out and say, "Excuse me, before you go, you left your trash between the chairs." I won't do it with your fingernail clippings. I'm not going to do that. Even I have my limits. Right? So, yeah, we have a responsibility, a stewardship of the environment in which God has placed us. So that's the Genesis 1 account. Now let's look at the Genesis 2 account. Now Genesis 2 gives us details that Genesis 1 does not give. These two accounts are not conflicting or contradictory. In reality, they are complementary. So that together, it gives a more full picture of what happened in that creation week. And you'll start then with me in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. When we read these words, that the Lord God formed man out of man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, that is something that is not expressed about animals. Something unique about mankind and what he became when God gave him life. He didn't just become a swimming fish or a creepy crawler. He didn't become just an animal. When God did this, God created man and gave him the breath of life. This one became, and there's a very specific grammatical structure that clearly identifies that what God did with Adam and Eve was different than what he did with anything else he created. But this man, when he was created, God made him unique. He is a living soul. so that mankind had at his creation a spiritual dimension that animals do not have. It's all a part of being made in the image of God. Now, let me add this. Turn in your Bible back to Genesis chapter 9. Keep going further in Genesis, Genesis chapter 9. Now, this is after the flood. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now, wait a minute. This is the first time, or this is an institution of the responsibility of governance that God has given man over other men. And so that government is ordained of God. And in this case, God has given government the authority to take the life of an individual who takes the life of another human being. Now, listen to this. Why is it that it is so significant to God that if an individual murders another individual, that individual is to be legally held responsible and their life is to be given? Capital punishment. Well, look in your Bible, keep reading. For in the image of God made he man. Do you know why? Because only individuals, only human beings are made in the image of God. It's so important to God that if an individual kills another individual murders another individual, God's from the early days of the history of mankind, God's punishment was as a society in a government, that person's life was to be taken, for they violated the image of God in that man. Man's unique. And you as an individual are a special individual in God's sight. Let me share something else with you, because this isn't the last time that this expression is used that we read from Genesis chapter 2. Go with me in your New Testament to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You'll want to find verse 45. We'll get there in a moment. Well, and when you come to 1 Corinthians 15, that's a chapter. It's the great resurrection chapter. It's what the whole chapter is about. And it's a long chapter that tells about the resurrection. Now, the point of this chapter, the resurrection chapter, is that there is a resurrection and that there is a resurrection body. The believers at Corinth were really confused about life and about the afterlife. And so the Apostle Paul here, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, teaches them about the resurrection body and about the role of the resurrection. And in this discussion, Paul quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 45. So it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. Now that is an affirmation of the accuracy of the Genesis account. And it is interesting that this is a direct quote from the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint, sometimes if you read, you'll read, it will be described or identified with capital L, capital X, capital X, 50, or excuse me, 70. The Septuagint was a copy of the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures translated into the New Testament, because in the world of the New Testament, there were people who were Hebrew people that had all they read and spoke was Greek. They didn't speak Hebrew and didn't read Hebrew, and they wanted to read the Old Testament scriptures. And so there are some guys that got together and translated the Septuagint. And it is interesting when you look at this, that this is a quote directly from the Septuagint, the Greek version of those Old Testament scriptures, as it's listed right here. So this not only affirms the accuracy of the Genesis account, this also affirms the power of Jesus Christ, who is the last Adam, to give resurrection life. So we keep reading in verse 45. that not only was Adam made a living soul, but the last Adam, that's Jesus, was made a quickening, a resurrecting, a life-giving spirit. And it affirms the power of Christ to give resurrection life. Now, that brings me to three questions tonight for you. Here's the first question. What about animals? Do animals have souls? No. Animals aren't made in the image of God. So no, animals do not have souls. They may be in heaven. So in our meeting before Sunday night, our deacons, pastor, we meet and we came up to this discussion. And actually, I think a few weeks ago in children's worship, this came up. I think it did. And I'll give you my opinion. We know at least one animal in heaven, right? When Jesus comes back, he will come riding on what? A white horse. We know there's at least a white horse in heaven. There are other beasts that are in heaven, very unusual animals. So, you know, we had our first little dog we had in Pensacola, and we lived there. It was a miniature dachshund. His name was Theophilus. He was just a little guy. He was about a year old, and I've told you about his story. Theophilus had a head-on collision with a bus and lost. Yeah. So we had Theophilus. And then we had our other little dog, our little Yorkie, Samson. I wanted to name Samson Aristarchus. I think that's a sophisticated Greek name. I think one of the girls wanted to name him Teddy Jack, and I couldn't live with a Teddy Jack. So we settled on Samson, his full name. He's a very sophisticated dog. Samson Barker, or Barkley. Samson Barkley Boffman. Is that right? Something like. Papers, whatever his papers are. Sir Samson Barkley Boffman. Very sophisticated. When we go to heaven, will we see Samson and Theophilus? I don't know. I don't know if in heaven I'll really care. It's going to be so good, but maybe. I can't say that the Bible doesn't say we won't see them. Though, now that I think about it, we will see Samson and Theophilus, only there are going to be people named Samson and Theophilus. Because they're both Bible believers. So I guess we will see them. So I don't know. It's possible. We do know that God gives us all things richly to enjoy, and maybe the Lord knows that for you, having your dog Diamond or your fish, I don't know what you name a fish, Goldie, or your cat Sarah or whatever, it may be that that's going to make heaven heavenly for you. And I'm for you. That's okay. And I don't know. So I can't say for sure there'll be animals, but I can tell you those animals don't have a soul like you have. The second question is, what about people? Well, the Bible does say. In fact, take your Bible and go with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And you'll want to find verse 23. The Apostle Paul prays for these believers in Thessalonica, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify means to set you apart for whatever God wants to do in your life, his purposes for your life. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are made with a soul and a body and a spirit. Now, whenever you're without Christ, only your body and your soul are operational. Your spirit is dead. Remember, you are dead in trespasses and sins. But whenever you came to Jesus Christ, God regenerated that dead spirit that died in Adam. And now you are fully functioning in every aspect of your full humanity when you know Christ. So, yes, you have a soul. And then it reminds us that you were made for fellowship with God. There's something else to consider, and that is you are marred by sin because that spirit is dead. On the day that Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, God said, "On the day you eat that fruit, you shall surely die." Did they die? Yes. That part that communes with God died. And then there is something else to think about man, and that is this, that man is marked for a day of accountability. And take your Bible and go with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Let's lift our voices and read this together as a congregation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Lifting our voices. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So my question, here's the third question. What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you spiritually dead or spiritually alive? Is there evidence that you have spiritual life? And it could be that God tonight is even confronting you with a very difficult reality, because while you're in church and while you are here, and I'm so glad you are, could it be that there is no evidence of spiritual life because you are not truly born again? Are you ready for that final appointment? Well, Pastor, why are you talking about animals and their soul? Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. I'm talking to you because it matters not just in life, but it matters in eternity. And the reason this subject was brought up is for one very simple reason. Because you asked for it. Let's all stand together, shall we?